Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson, and welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only top 10 countdown type show right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. You also find it wherever fine podcasts are available, including the CastBox app. Yes.
It's the best.
We got a great partnership with CastBox. Check it out. We're also on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. Y'all know how Patreon works. You know how Patreon works, Steve?
I do. We just closed the month of May. We've got a lot of friendo care packages to send out, Larson. Very exciting.
Well, how does one earn a friendo care package?
$20. You get a comic book, a poster, a two-sided poster.
Three stickers
and a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, and a bunch of that stuff is signed by us.
Just one $20 bill.
One $20 bill.
One time.
What a deal. And I really want to do the Slayest friendo care package to for anybody.
Anybody.
T-shirt, stickers, and a postcard.
All right.
And it's a good deal.
Good idea.
But that's not on the table yet. We're not doing that yet.
Yeah, so.
Tranquilo on that one.
We're also on Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goingin raw. I think there's a sale happening right now. It started on Friday. I think it goes till Monday.
Buy five and get 25%
off your entire order.
Your whole order. So that's cool. That's
yes,
a good deal.
Pro Wrestling Tees celebrating their fifth birthday, I think.
Yeah, I saw a thing on their Twitter. It said 5 years ago they started with 11 wrestlers that they had signed up. Kevin Steen, Colt Cabana, and 9 others, and I forget who those people are.
Wow.
Probably El Generico, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they are celebrating. They have, I think they said 100 employees, 180 employees.
It's quite an operation these days.
$5 million paid out in royalties.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of change there for people.
What percentage of that goes to the Young Bucks?
I would say a good 99%. Probably most of it.
I was going to say at least a tenth of it.
Probably a massive amount. So good for them.
No, your computer audio is on.
That's I know, but I'm making sure that the desktop audio wasn't.
Gotcha. Anyway, so what are we talking about today, Steve? So usually, we'll brainstorm ideas for Countout. One of us will present an idea to the other, and then we'll research and compile a list together.
Yeah.
You came in to work today with a list pretty much already made.
Well, last week you did the same. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to go ahead. Because here's the thing. I've been very excited. I've been very excited because I think as of yesterday, maybe next week, I don't know, I'm going to bring back my Impact reviews.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't expect you to participate.
That's
I'm not going to ask
keep
you to
keep your expectations
do that.
Low.
Exactly.
Then you won't be disappointed.
And they should keep their expectations low as well because I'm not sure. I'm not 100% that this is going to happen. Right now, I'm actually out of town. Like, we're recording this on a Tuesday.
Yes, but when you're watching this on Saturday, Steve won't actually be in this office. He won't even be in the city of Sacramento.
Correct.
He will be in another city.
But I'm going to be here on Friday, so I should probably be able. My point is, I might be doing Impact reviews again. They announced that they're signing up Joe Hendry, the prestigious one, local hero.
It's very exciting.
There's a lot of fun stuff. There is a lot of fun stuff going on in Impact Wrestling, and I know you've always been. I have an open mind. You have what I like to call. Not an open mind.
No, I typically have an open mind, but I feel like I've been
duped.
Duped, yes.
Yes.
By Impact far too many times.
But it's a new day, Larson. Yes, it is.
They need to prove to me that they're not repeating the mistakes of past and with one of their latest stunts. Feel like haven't learned that yet.
It's not a come on. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're doing two videos today. This one is, of course, as you've probably seen by the title and thumbnail, the top 10 best moves Impact Wrestling has made recently.
I'm impressed you can come up with 10 things.
This is 10 quality moves that they have made, and this is exactly what both these videos are going to be. I'm trying to – it's good cop, bad cop.
You're pretty much going to try to convince me to tune into Impact, I feel like.
No, because I know that – look, I will say this. Impact, what I would like to lay out here in this video and the one that's – airing in conjunction with this, 10 things they still need to do, I feel like they are not must-see wrestling TV.
No.
Still. They are not priority TV. And we have a list of priorities that's sort of at the bottom. However, given that it is such a low priority, it does free me up to just do it on my own, because like, I don't expect you to, like it. It's, I have low expectations for doing impact reviews because it is low priority TV. Therefore, I don't expect you to be involved. I just think, hey, you know what? If I watch it, I might as well review it. And I like a lot of the things they've been doing lately. I think they've been making some good moves. There's a whole new team at the top making these moves. And I think there's a bunch of good ones, and I think there's a bunch of ones that they could still make, and so that's making up the two videos today.
When does Joe Hendry debut?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Have no idea. However, I started doing those impact reviews back when I did, because they had signed up OVE, the Crist brothers.
Yes.
You and I had seen them in action with Sammy Callahan.
Yeah, PWG.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. I want to see what they're doing over there in Impact. I want to get a new perspective. Their TV is surprisingly good. Anyways, here's 10 things Impact has done right recently, maybe to get Larson back watching.
Well,
or watching in the first place. Number 10.
10.
Interpromotional stuff. Look at all those wrestlers right there.
That's
Larson.
A lot of wrestlers. See, I like Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground? Yeah. How many episodes of that have you actually seen?
I've seen most of the second season.
Oh.
How many have you seen?
One, like not even the first one, but I don't claim to be a big fan of Lucha Underground.
I don't claim to be a huge fan either. I just said I liked it.
Okay.
So I like a lot of talents there. I like Jeff Cobb. I like Pentagon Jr. I like Rey Fénix.
Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And Impact this past WrestleMania season during WrestleMania week.
They had a cross-brand show, yes.
They had a cross-brand show. And it was, if I may say, I believe one of the buzzier things that came out of the non-WWE events WrestleMania week. I think that, like, it's funny because I remember the Ring of Honor show was kind of overshadowed by that amazing takeover that went down. And so not a lot of people were talking about
that.
Well,
I think part of it was that, and also it was, I don't know if the Kenny-Cody match really lived up to expectations.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, there was a couple things going on there. However, that didn't really get that much buzz, not certainly as much as you'd think, between the two warring members of the Bullet Club. I feel like Lucha Underground and Twitch... I'm sorry, Lucha Underground and Impact on Twitch. I think that got a lot of people talking. I mean, the funny thing was, a lot of the Lucha Underground people were already sort of wrestling for Impact.
Yeah. So, Sammy Callahan already Impact, and he just goes under a different name and.
And he changed his name for Lucha Underground,
but he still wrestled Eddie Edwards, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So he just brought it out as a different personality. But still, you know, you had Austin Aries, the Impact champion. Mixing it up with Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix in a fantastic match, a match that came out of that card with a lot of people talking about it. That, I think, and then apparently, so they're going to the UK to do something, to like a tour of the UK, I guess, and they're issuing an open challenge to the UK scene over there. I'm imagining it's not a legit open challenge where they're just putting this out on Twitter and they actually have something lined up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have some wrestler walking through the crowd and challenge. Right. Who's the X Division champ right now?
I want to say it's Matt Sydal.
All right, Matt Sydal to a match.
I think it might be Petey Williams. I don't know. That's why I got to get back into it. But yeah, I think they hopefully they'll do something cool. And I like that. I like that idea. They have fostered a sort of an atmosphere of collaboration after years and years.
You're correct. It is Matt Sydal.
Nice. After years of seemingly sort of doing the opposite and like pissing a lot of people off. So anyways, I think that it would seriously behoove them to attach their poisonous toxic name to other willing promotions
who still engender something resembling goodwill with the wrestling community.
I did hear though that at the Lucha Underground versus Impact Wrestling thing, the ring announcer comes out and says, "Who's ready for some Lucha Underground?" And people say, "Yay!" And then he said, "Who's ready for some Impact Wrestling?" And the crowd went, "Boo!" So they still have a ways to go, but God bless them, they're trying.
Well, I didn't know Sonata was in TNA.
Everybody was in TNA at some point.
But it was in 2014. I thought TNA and New Japan's... I think Sonata got to start in All Japan.
Oh, okay. Anyways, moving on. Number 9.
9.
fired Alberto Del Rio. This was probably, this for me personally speaking, it probably should have been number one.
Yeah.
I don't know what they ever saw in this guy.
Well, here's what they saw, I think. When you went to that live event nearby in Newark.
Yeah.
It was Alberto versus Moose.
Yeah.
And I had never seen Alberto that personable.
Right.
Charismatic.
Very charming guy.
Energetic.
Yeah, I know.
And passionate about his work.
Yeah.
I never saw that Alberto in WWE.
Yeah.
And if that was the Alberto that was coming across backstage, mm-hmm. I don't know if that ever came across on Impact Television. I don't watch the show.
Right. They did some good stuff towards, like, in his last little bit there with Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they fired him for the Paige stuff. And then
they suspended him indefinitely.
They suspended him indefinitely. He came back, did a very curious promo at one of their pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. I heard about that.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. And so they're trying to straddle this line between disgruntled employee guy, but still face, but still kind of heel. He got into a really entertaining thing with John Morrison backstage. And then...
Oh, what about the one with Austin Aries where he tried to get me to steak?
And then that was great. That was actually really, really well done. Yeah, not the steak, the segment. But
I hope the steak wasn't well done.
It was a good bit. And then here's the thing that kind of concerned me is that apparently originally the plans for Alberto was to put the world title back on him.
To beat Austin Aries for the belt.
Yeah, and I thought that was a terrible idea.
Oh, it would have been a terrible idea.
Luckily, he no-showed the Twitch event, the Lucha Underground event,
and was shortly dismissed.
Right, exactly. So that, I mean, you know, by happenstance, that you know. But I think that was a good move. I just don't think that kind of unpredictable element needs to be in a company who's trying to rebuild
this
the idea that they are a stable one. Because that is the biggest issue with them, is that they've lacked any sort of stability.
Yes, and therefore they've lacked credibility.
In the eyes of the fans. Exactly right. Number eight.
Eight.
No more WWE has-beens. That's the same thing I used before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you kind of remember how Impact, TNA, whenever anybody would either be released by WWE or was a part of the WWE years earlier, it was always, when is this person going to show up in Impact Wrestling, TNA? You know, you saw God, you saw Sting.
Well, he
Booker
was in
T.
WWE by that point.
Right. Well, you know what I mean.
Well, the thing was is that when TNA was started by Jeff Jarrett, it seemed to be as an extension of WCW. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so while not all the WCW guys came over immediately, many of them went to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, most of them found their way back.
You saw the Hardys. You saw Jeff. You saw the Hardys. You saw like the Dudleys. You saw Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Sting, obviously from WCW.
Hogan. Bischoff.
And then even going way down the line, you had guys like Mr. Anderson, Mr. Kennedy, mm-hmm. Chris Masters was mm-hmm. there just up until recently. Mm-hmm. So everybody, whether or not they, the Funkasaurus guy, whether or not they added value to the product.
They just thought they brought name to the product.
Recognition. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there is a reason usually people are let go or released from WWE, and it doesn't, but it's because they're not going to really move the needle.
Yeah.
The path they are taking right now, where they're looking at the indie ranks and seeing who of value they can get there and then build up via wrestling and the characters they've created on the indie circuit, because they're kind of starting to understand their audience, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they finally realized that they shouldn't try to compete with WWE. They should try to compete with, say, Ring of Honor.
And that's going to be one of the other entries.
Yeah, we'll save more for the other video.
But they could have easily, and maybe they did, maybe they went after Ryback. I don't know. I'm glad they didn't realize
there was good value in paying his appearance fee, I guess.
Right, exactly.
If what we heard is the case, because it's astronomical.
I mean, as much as I liked Darren Young in the WWE, I feel like he was probably released kind of for a reason. Like, he doesn't really move the needle much. Even though I really liked the Backlund stuff that they mm-hmm, were doing, they never mm-hmm. really went with it anywhere. And it's not like he was a hugely in-demand guy on TV. And Impact, again, maybe they tried and he said no. I have no idea. But he hasn't landed an Impact. I don't really feel like they need to get him, you know? It's just because they're gone from WWE doesn't mean Impact has to pick them up.
Yeah.
I much prefer seeing guys go into Impact and then get taken by the WWE, you know? Or in the case of Austin Aries, somebody who just didn't fit but can add something to your product.
Yes.
not just because he was in WWE. Number seven.
Seven.
All their digital media stuff.
Yeah, their partnership with Twitch was a great idea.
Yeah, you have to be savvy on the social media, digital media sphere these days. Twitch, as we know, has been making a big push into the world of wrestling.
Yeah, they streaming deals with Wrestle Circus, I think.
Yeah, Wrestle Circus, yeah.
House of Hardcore, too?
I believe so, yeah. They did AAA. They had Triple Mania. Yeah. And so that's been really cool. And then Impact Sign. And, you know, from all accounts, it's been a big success. I forget exactly what the numbers were, but I know Impact was touting their own figures about their Twitch concurrent streaming numbers during WrestleMania week. Because they were doing a lot of stuff on Twitch.
Yeah. Well, I think they have back catalog programming throughout the day.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And
yeah.
then they have original programming for their Twitch channel as well as airing. I don't know if it's the same time as new episodes air on Pop, or is there a delay?
There's probably a delay.
Probably a delay.
Think, yeah.
But then they also have, was it Cali Combat?
Mm-hmm.
That was shot the next day after the show he went to, happened in Salinas.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think about maybe a month later or so, they aired that.
Yeah, okay.
On Twitch.
So they've got that going for them. They've got the Global Wrestling Network, the unfortunately named Global Wrestling Network. They probably should. which is, of course, their version of the WWE Network. It's their streaming service that they have. And, you know, they were even able to reach an agreement with WWE for their Table of Three episode with AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, and Shane McMahon to run some footage of AJ versus Kurt Angle during their time in TNA. And then they got a nice big fat ad at the end, you know, come check out the Global Wrestling Network. So they're able to cut deals that make sense instead of, if you look back even a year ago with the whole, and this can apply to any number of the entries on this.
Broken Universe.
When they finally understood that it wouldn't benefit them at all to hold up wrestlers and their gimmicks to go use them other places.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other entry or category. I don't know if we have it on here, but when they realize that, you know what, just let them go do what they're going to do. We have stuff that people will still want to come see, the Hardy footage from the original Final Deletion stuff. That's of value to us if we let them go out and use that, you know, that gimmick. So they seem to be making a lot of good moves, and one of them here is in the digital media sphere.
Yes.
Technology 2.0, Larson. I don't know what that means. Number six.
Six.
Localization.
Oh, look at that.
So we heard.
We were at that show.
So we heard all about Triple H's global localization ideas for NXT. Well, Impact has local localization.
So I think this is a great idea for Impact because then they don't have to incur the cost of putting on and promoting their own live events. They send their talent to independent promotions throughout the country.
Yes.
Feature them, bring in some good houses for those local promotions, which in turn helps the competitors there who wrestle all the time there locally. It's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with the upfront costs of running out of space, selling tickets, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know if they're helping out talents with travel or not. Regardless, it's just a good situation for all involved, I feel like. It really helps the local promotions, and it helps Impact kind of increase their brand awareness throughout the country.
We saw this, like you said earlier, we saw this play out in person in Newark, California.
Yeah.
It was $40 for a
front row seat.
And
it was a lot of fun.
Everybody there got, like, if you didn't know who, for example, Eli Drake was, he cut a promo, showed off his strengths.
Well, Eli Drake wrestles regularly for Big Time Wrestling, so I think they know who he is.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know how regularly, but he's, like, I was looking back.
Is he from Northern California?
That I don't know, but I was looking back, I'd see his name pop up.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I had no idea.
Relative frequency.
Well, if there was another Impact star that you weren't really familiar with, you got to, you know, figure out what they're all about. And they put on a damn good show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And like everything you said was true. Number five.
Oh, and the main event was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, it was Reno Scum versus
LAX.
LAX, yeah. It was so much fun. Number five.
Five.
Make good TV. Who doesn't want to see a guy almost get his eye crushed from Sammy Callahan's baseball bat? No, actually, you know, the funny thing is the logistics of doing a solid 2-hour show every single week while you're doing TV tapings.
Oh, I know. Once a month or once every other month?
Once every other month have to be a nightmare. Somehow, some way, that was one thing that always impressed me with when I was watching Impact was how solid their TV actually is. One thing that I really appreciated was, you know, we talked about in the other entry was when they would go, they would say, oh, we're going to cut now to Big Time Wrestling. Or we're going to cut now to Border City Wrestling, I think is the Canada promotion that they run a lot of their stuff out of. And then they would run stuff out of the Crash. Mm-hmm. They would run footage from all these different promotions that really gave you a different flavor for all these different promotions. And I thought, and I don't know, I kind of suspected that was maybe Jeff Jarrett's original idea.
It could be. I think that was kind of his idea for Global Force.
For Global Force, exactly. Yeah. And but it really, really works. And then if you have, like, you know, your main Impact Zone tapings to sort of tie it all together as sort of a framing device, it works really well. But, like, all their backstage segments, they're all very simple, but they're all very, very professionally done.
That's one thing I always liked about how TNA and Impact handled their backstage segments. A long way. It was more fly on the wall.
Yeah.
It's more like they shot them documentary style.
Yeah, yeah.
Which made them feel more organic, a little fresher, and not quite as staged as how WWE handles things.
That is the one thing I will say that I always appreciated TNA over
Eli Drake.
Oh, there you go. Over he's all in the back there. Howling Darren Young. I always appreciated TNA. They're, like you said, the backstage segments were just so much better because of that. But they also snatched up, we're going to talk about him a little bit later, but they snatched up Don Callis.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the brain trust now. Jimmy Jacobs, one of WWE's head writers.
Yeah, that was let go following the what do they call it? Takeover, Bullet Club takeover.
The Bullet Club thing.
That happened outside the SmackDown in Ontario.
And I know, I'm pretty sure he's involved in the backstage producing and writing and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's not just an on-screen character, but he is also an on-screen character, and he's really good at his role. And then apparently Kevin Sullivan produces a lot of their video, too.
Wow.
Meltzer was I don't know if I saw it myself, but they put together a really amazing promotional video for, I think, Slammiversary? I forget. That Meltzer said, yeah, Kevin Sullivan tossed that together in a matter of hours.
Wow.
I was like, himself? Was he on a laptop doing that?
Hmm.
That, I mean, if that's true, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
Probably isn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's really cool.
He was probably the one producing it.
Probably, yeah. He probably said, make it look cool.
But who knows?
Make it look cool.
Go from this shot to that shot.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, anyways, their TV is actually pretty impressive. So it's good stuff. Number four. Run with it. Now,
we've seen that before.
Another still of Sami Callihan beating Eddie Edwards. Let's take a look at Eddie Edwards here. We'll do this right here. Oops, that's us. There we go. Look at that. Oh, that poor eyeball. Anyways, I use that still for a reason. WWE seems intent on sticking to their stories. It doesn't matter if it's not working. Doesn't matter if it's not getting over. We hear sometimes that Vince will be like, oh, well, he saw a bunch of people walking out. Maybe he's not going to go in that direction. We hear sometimes that Vince will change course. But it doesn't seem like it happens that often.
Well, it's weird because Vince seems stubborn on following through on the storylines he wants to follow through, yet is fickle about the details.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of being both fluid and incredibly stubborn simultaneously.
Yeah. This Eddie Edwards, Sami Callihan thing is kind of evidence that the people at Impact have an open mind. There was a spot where Sami Callihan was supposed to crack a baseball bat over a chair that was on top of Eddie Edwards during some sort of hardcore match.
Yeah, and instead he missed, cracked Eddie Edwards' eye with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Caused a relatively significant injury for Eddie Edwards. Thankfully, it wasn't worse. He got to keep his eye on all that. He was at the Newark show, so he's back wrestling by that time.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, they very well could have not run that match, given the incident, because it was taped.
Yeah.
But they did, and they took the kind of the social media reaction following that match and really played it up to enhance Sami Callihan as a heel.
Yeah, and he ran with it. People were all over him. Jim Cornette, Cassius Ohno was like, this guy is unsafe. They were really playing into it. And Impact has turned this into a really, really hot feud. They've really been running with it. Eddie Edwards showed up in OVE's home promotion, Sammy Callahan's home promotion. He was getting booed because they're all hometown guys. But he ran up in there and had his own baseball bat. They've turned the baseball bat into a thing. They've turned it into T-shirts. They've had multiple matches with this. They've dragged Don Callis into a segment where he ended up blading. So they've turned Sammy Callahan into this psycho massive heel based on one unfortunate accident. They weren't afraid to say, okay, this is hot. Let's go with it.
Yeah, I guess my only concern, and I would suspect they wouldn't have run with it if it hadn't happened, is that they made sure Eddie Edwards was cool with everything.
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to know that. Look, my eye's fine. This is going to make us a lot of money if I do this. Might as well do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he wasn't down with it, he'd probably just been like, well, I'm not going to have that match.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, anyways, moving on. Number three.
Don
Callis. I was very impressed and surprised when Impact was able to nab Don Callis right on the heels of him being the man who
seemingly brokered the deal between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Chris Jericho for him to show up at Wrestle Kingdom to take on Kenny Omega.
Yeah. So he was obviously he was working commentary,
mm-hmm.
but then he sort of got dragged into the talent relations aspect of things via that deal. Impact came in, swept him up, made him part of their brain trust along with Scott DeMore. And I thought that was a fantastic deal. He replaced Sanjay Dutt, who's one of the producers there now, on commentary along with Josh Matthews. I'm a big fan of Don Callis' commentary, so just that alone is a really good deal. But the fact that he's also a guy who has tons of relationships all over the place, a guy who has a really, really keen mind for wrestling, is now one of the guys who's, you know, dealing with the talent, who's making the decisions. That is absolutely a quality move. When that happened, I was like, you know what? It's only a matter of time before we see even more collaborations. Maybe, and I know you're bullish on this, a talent exchange with New Japan probably won't happen, but yeah, it's within the realm of possibility.
I'm pessimistic about the possibilities given the relationship. I understand it's completely new people in charge,
mm-hmm.
but given how poorly TNA treated New Japan talents during Excursion during the previous partnership, I'd be very surprised if it were to happen.
Yeah, maybe you're right, maybe not, but I think it's currently within the realm of possibility. Whereas before,
it's more likely to happen now that Don Callis can serve as a potential intermediary.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't think it's likely to happen.
Number two. Signed great talent. Look at Brian Cage. He's jacked.
Yeah, he's mad.
Yeah, he's jacked. Anyways, they're pushing him to the moon. That's Brian Cage right there. But they've done a really good job lately of signing. Like I said, I started getting back in Impact when they signed over the Crist brothers. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because I like know who they are. But, you know, they have Moose. They locked him apparently into
I think he said it was reported he signed a 3-year deal or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I read too. But then, like, wasn't that far after that they started talking about Impact moving to
not appearance deals.
Yeah. So I have no idea. I don't know. But anyways, Moose is there. He calls himself Mr. Impact Wrestling, so he's probably going to be there for a while. Of course, they've had John Morrison, probably as part of a talent exchange with either AAA or Lucha Underground.
Johnny Impact.
JOMO.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Aries was a pretty big deal coming back. Sue Young, who's doing some really good work now in the women's division. Matt Sydal, Joe Hendry, already talked about him. Yeah. Trevor Lee is there.
Yeah, Trevor Lee's great.
Sammy Guevara had some time in Impact. I thought that was really cool. And then OVE. They seem to be snatching up some real quality names. The Chelsea Green just left. She was Laurel Van Ness in Impact, and apparently she left to try to make her way to NXT somehow. Apparently she... I just saw like a headline that says she has not been contacted for the Mae Young Classic
mm-hmm.
Part 2. But who knows? Maybe that means she has been contacted. And
yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But no, they've actually, if you look at their roster, they've actually signed up some pretty decent names.
Yeah.
I've actually been pretty impressed.
Yeah.
And number one, the best thing that actually matters is they've had some actually pretty damn good wrestling. This guy, Austin Aries, and Matt Sydal main evented a show, like one of their TV shows, like a month ago in a really, really fantastic match. They aren't as bound by the WWE style of wrestling either, which is a huge plus in
mm-hmm.
their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all this great talent. They're putting together some good matches. I feel like the Austin Aries, Pentagon, Rey Fénix if they had more matches like that where people are talking about it. Do you remember what was the reason why we got into New Japan? Because you hear about this guy named Kenny Omega, this guy named Okada, who are like five-star match machines over there doing all sorts of great stuff. It's all about the wrestling. If Impact puts on really, really, really good wrestling matches,
yeah,
they will continue to make up ground.
Yeah.
Getting that name out of the hole.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Out of all this.
That's going to be their selling point. If they could put on some of the best wrestling that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, people will tune in.
Absolutely. I think that's true. So I wish them all the luck. Larson, no, I don't wish, you want to see them succeed?
Yeah, I want to see them succeed.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
I don't know.
But whether I watch or not is going to be the determination whether they fail or succeed.
Yeah. Every week, a five-star match. Would you start watching? Really? Wow. But you just said the good wrestling is the thing. It's 2 hours of TV. I mean, the main thing is 2 extra hours of TV every week.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And usually Thursday nights is when I do Matt Chat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, anyways, I will do it. I'm probably, we'll see. It all depends on my whims, man. Sometimes I'm down for it, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not committing, but I probably will.
No pressure.
I'm really interested to see Joe Hendry.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting.
That should be a lot of fun.
Local hero.
Local prestigious one. Prestigious. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Check out the other video.
Yeah.
10 things they still need to do because they're not there yet, man.
No.
Right.
No.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.